Right Said Fred and the Amazing Xandero.
No?
Xander Fred? Fred Ziffel and Arnold? Okay, I'm done messing around. This is Fred and Xander on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
I say it quite often, and it's nice to say when you have a first place team, but it sucks when you lose.
It hurts. after all those home runs.
Despite an eight-game lead, it sucks when you lose to a Cleveland team that you should beat.
You should.
Yeah.
A couple key moments in that game.
Yeah.
I saw them firsthand.
Yeah, you and Tyler.
Yeah, I looked back and I saw a Cub fan Tyler in there.
He didn't wear his Cub hat.
No, he did not.
I think Tyler's of the era where he doesn't wear much. He wears like he's got a Nike hat on today. But otherwise, you're not a big...
We're showing our age, right? Because we're wearing logos?
Yeah. You're not a big logo guy, are you?
Well, except for the Nike on his
hat. Yeah, I got the Nike hat. No, it's a lot of blank attire. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you do. A lot of blank attire. I like that.
I've been going to blank shirts lately.
Have you?
But yeah, for years, I wore concert shirts for years, all that. Then within the last year, it's like, you know what? I just like the solid black or the solid blue.
Uh-huh.
Just kind of, you know, just go in the blank attire as well. But the hats, I represent.
Yeah, I get a logo of some kind, always. I bought another shirt yesterday, like I need another T-shirt.
Yeah, I have that same issue.
I actually bought two more.
Every time I get one, it's like, I didn't need this.
No. Well, yesterday I bought one because one of the breweries by me, Goldfinger Brewing, their one-year anniversary.
And you're supporting. See, I get that.
Yeah.
You must have a whole drawer of, like, craft beer.
I have about five or six.
Shirts.
Yeah, maybe a little bit more than that.
Like, I have a sports drawer.
Yeah.
I have a concert drawer.
Uh-huh.
You probably have a craft beer.
I'm getting there. Four Peaks in Arizona I've got one from a place in Nantucket. There's a place.
Which is brilliant if you have a great graphic.
Yeah.
It's like the minor league teams, right? The crazy names and the great graphics.
Yeah.
You don't care about the team. You just
You want the shirt or the hats.
Yep.
Yeah. So yesterday I got Goldfinger because it was her one-year anniversary. So I picked up my girlfriend Linda. We went there, sat down there for about 2-3 hours, listened to music, talked to people, enjoyed a couple of beverages. That was nice. So, and then there's another brewery, Skeleton Key Brewing. They're the ones that had their roof taken off in the tornado.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there's more relief funds for them and more things like that. So I went and bought some beer from them and bought another shirt. Bought another shirt. So, I get all these kind of shirts. And I lost a little bit of weight, so they actually fit. Like, this shirt used to be tight. And
it's ridiculous.
I've got a bunch of
the shirt that I'm wearing right now I could not have worn last year.
Yeah.
So, same thing. But it's disappointing because there's some great shirts that I have that are tense on me now.
Yeah.
So it's like, do I get
a
new size of the same shirt? Because I really
Or you
like
can just
it.
Put on weight again.
No.
Wait till the fall and winter come.
Yeah. Well, that might actually naturally happen, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Hopefully not.
And yesterday, you guys were upstairs. You guys were with the hoi polloi. So, did the dessert cart come by? Were you still the dessert cart came by?
Oh, my God. The red velvet.
Oh, do they still have like the Snickers pie? They had like a
I'm sure they
pie.
Did. I didn't go out there purposely.
How about you, Tyler?
I had like a chocolate peanut butter cake. It was so good.
Yeah.
That dessert cart there in the United Center.
It's amazing.
Second to none.
Yeah. It's amazing.
My son, who is also named Tyler, the Tyler's met, by the way.
Okay. That was a Spider-Man meme moment. I think we both said to each other, we've heard so much about each other.
It was. I'm like, Tyler, me Tyler. This is my Tyler. That's the Tyler producer Tyler at the station.
That's cool.
I said my son out. I said, dessert. He's like, dessert cart? I'm like, go.
Uh-huh.
And he went and he brought back red velvet. I go, I'm sharing that with you because I'm not going out there.
Right.
Because, again,
I've
tried to avoid that thing. So we had half of that. And I'm like, I need a nap.
Dessert carts are
ridiculous.
Tough.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, because they're the ones you United Center, Guarantee Ray Field. And I've never been to a suite at Wrigley Field. I'm sure that they are similar. With those kind of
things. They have nicer troughs in those suites then?
They should. You should always have a nicer trough.
It always goes back to the trough.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So last night, the White Sox, yesterday, I was here with Brian Hanley, and Tyler knows, we had a caller who talked about Sebi Zavala not being able to hit high school pitching. He couldn't the night before.
Hey, I'll tell
you
something.
He threw his bat twice.
I tell you something. Part of my my son has been a casual fan in recent years. He's starting to get back into it. So, you know, like you do when you bring somebody to a game, if you're like us,
yeah.
you kind of like talk their ear off about sure. what they should expect and all this. And I said, you know what? Sebby's a solid defensive catcher, but he's just not hitting. So I don't know how long we're going to see him. And then, boom.
Yeah. Not
I'm like,
one,
oh, that's cool.
Not two.
And then Grant, boom.
Yeah.
What?
Uh-huh.
And then the third one, it just became comical in such a great way. So,
well, see, here's the thing. They score 11 runs, the White Sox, and they lose. So you look at it, you go, well, man, they scored 11 runs. At least they were hitting the ball. Well, here's the thing.
Well, not here's everybody was,
yeah.
Fred.
Here's the thing. There's 7, 8, 9 hitters in the order. Goodwin, Engel, and Zavala, who usually, if Len Casper says, coming up for the White Sox here in the third inning, you've got Goodwin, Engel, and Zavala, you go, I'll tune back into the fourth.
But time to get a beer.
Yeah, yesterday they went a combined 6-for-10 with 9 runs, 9 RBIs, and 5 homers.
Right. And then,
and then
Yoán Moncada, 0-for-5. He looks like...
Yeah.
He's just kind of into it.
Yeah, he was 0-for-5, and Vaughn was 0-for-4. And they were the only 0-fers. Abreu had a hit. Hernandez, for the second game in a row, had 2 hits.
Yeah.
So this Cesar Hernandez they picked up to play second base is actually getting on base.
And he looks good in the field. He's a gold glover.
Yeah, and Gavin Sheets had the at-bat of the game as he kept fouling pitches off.
Wearing him out.
Yeah, except, and Tyler brought up a great point. The Sox are battling. The Sox are coming back. He's got this. He's wearing out the pitcher with this. And all of a sudden, everything had to stop. And I can't say the word I want to say, but apparently some idiot threw something at the Indians outfield.
Yeah, it was right in front of us.
Yeah.
We had
killed momentum. Lost the game.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Lost the game.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And despite the fact that Gavin Sheets had a 113-mile-an-hour shot right at the right fielder who didn't have to move.
No.
And then the very next pitch, I think, Moncada hits one, you know, right way the heck.
Well, yeah, and that was impressive, but that's like the only thing Moncada did. And
yeah.
Look, he had a tough throw that, thank God, Abreu was able to scoop up.
Right.
He was having trouble. This guy's got a cannon for an arm, but his accuracy this year is very, very questionable. But I would say not only that that guy throwing stuff in the field, but the Goodwin thing right in front of us.
Yeah.
That was worth 2 runs right there. That was the difference right there.
Yeah. I mean, and
he had it in his mitt.
I watched the game, and I actually had the sound up on TV. And you've got to say that he just dropped the ball.
It wasn't an error. It was not an error.
It's not that it would have been a tough catch. He was there.
It was not a tough catch.
No.
It was in his glove. It was out of his glove.
Yeah.
And it wasn't an error. And
it
I spent the rest of the game looking up, seeing if they were going to change that, because I don't get how you don't call that an error.
You've got to. He got all the way back there. He jumped. The ball's in his glove.
If anything, he overjumped, but it was in his glove.
Yeah.
If it's in the leather, you got to keep it.
Yeah. There's a guy that when I walk into the building, after I park my car, I walk into the building, the guy that sits downstairs, he opens the door, the garage door for the ABC people that come in and all that stuff. And we talk White Sox all the time. And he brought up a great point. He said, you know, guys like Goodwin and, you know, other guys that have come up when Danny Mendick was here, he went back down. But when guys are here, you know, your Billy Hamiltons and things like that, these guys
are not everyday players. Yeah.
No, they're not everyday players. They can do it for a little while. They can't do it all the time.
Those are the ones to spell relief on those days where you need a little relief.
Yeah.
Hey, Garcia is that way too. Although he's like one notch above that.
Yes, he is.
He's still not an everyday guy.
Uh-huh.
And I think he's better if he comes in and spells relief when we need him.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen when we get Luis back. Everything's going to get pushed back. With Cesar Hernandez now, Lurie doesn't have to play second base every day.
Here's the question, though. Did the White Sox bring Eloy Jimenez back too soon? I mean, I know that the injury he's dealing with right now isn't necessarily affiliated, because he hurt a pectoral before,
right,
and now he's got a groin.
Right. But is that a function of him not being game ready and pushing himself too much?
And because of that, do you let Luis Robert stay down there a little bit longer?
We've got,
because you have an 8-game lead.
Yes. The answer is a resounding yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and if we have to keep Jimenez out of the lineup for a little longer just to make sure, you know, put that kid on a bike, get him all loosened up before he even comes back. Because he is going to play. He's a balls-to-the-wall player,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know, you can't stop him from, you know, that catch he made last week. And he looks like he's running faster. Even Steve Stone said he's got more hustle now. He looks like he's changed in a good way after this rehab assignment. But we have to make sure he's able to sustain and stay in the game.
Right. He's another bat that you're missing. So the White Sox yesterday had 11 hits. But, again, six of them were from the bottom three guys in the order. So your Anderson had one. Abreu had one. Sheets had one. And Hernandez had two. Yeah. And that's it. And so despite the fact they scored 11 runs, their bats are still not there.
Not where they need to be.
They're not hitting the way they need to be. The 7, 8, 9 guys were.
Those were unexpected gifts. I mean, Zavala?
Yeah.
You know.
You don't expect that very often.
No.
Yeah. Now when he has no homers, you don't expect him to hit three.
He had, what did he have? Did he have 5 hits?
Yesterday, 4.
No. Leading up to the game.
Yeah. He may have only had 3. Because I think he's got 3 or 4 hits now. So he had 4 yesterday.
He was 4 for 4 yesterday.
Yeah.
And so he's got either 7 or 8 hits on his career, half of them happening yesterday.
Well, he's got 8 for the season.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
right.
Yep, he had 4. Half of his hits he got yesterday. 312-332-3776. We're going to talk Cubs baseball, too. The Cubs get a win. You may not have known all the guys on the field. But they did get a win yesterday over the Nationals. But you knew the guy on the mound because Kyle Hendricks does what Kyle Hendricks does. He went 7 innings. He's now 13-4 through 100 pitches, allowed just 1 run, struck out 3, just 4 hits. His ERA is 3.71, and he's still here.
That's a bright spot in otherwise a tough year.
Yeah, he's one of the few guys still here, and that's nice to see. So we're going to ask you about how you're watching Cubs baseball, and if at all you're watching Cubs baseball. 312-332-3776. We go to John in Evanston. What's up, John?
Hey, John.
Hey, guys. First of all, I'm really surprised. Anthony has come out of the gate with New York looking good.
Yep.
He has yet to make an out. He's got 2 homers. He's I think the Yankees are going to sign this guy. They should. They need to.
John, you know, how many times a player is having a tough year, goes to another team, and all of a sudden is just reinvigorated?
Because, you know, think about it, though. Okay, I'm going to get to the White Sox point in a second here. But Anthony walked into a situation where he's not the man. All he has to do is his job with this ball club, and they'll win. It's not like with the Cubs where they expected him to drive in the big runs and he felt like he had to keep the line going. With New York, it's not like that. He just has to be Anthony and do what Anthony does well, and he is.
Yeah, well, it's a good point. Yeah, the pressure is a lot different.
It's on everybody else but Anthony right now.
Right, right.
As far as the Sox go, you know, Abreu, he seems to be in some kind of a slump. He's not hitting the way he should. We've known him to be. But 3, 4, and 5, I think Tony might have to do some imagination type stuff here with the lineup a little bit, because, you know, first of all, the 2 kids, one of them's back. Maybe he came back too soon. I agree with you. Robert should stay down in the minors and really work out the kinks. They don't need him that badly that they should bring him up too quick. But, you know, as far as what we have on the field, you know, that defense has got to tighten up. We cannot be giving 12 runs a game away like this.
No.
Especially to anybody at this point. We've got to start winning games.
Yeah.
We're looking ugly. What happens when we have to play the Yankees coming up, or
exactly
these clubs that we have to beat in the playoffs when we can't beat Cleveland?
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
We've got to tighten things up.
John, you bring up a great point. Thanks, as John. Always. Thanks a lot. And he brings up
Tampa
a great
Bay?
Point because, yeah, here's what the White Sox have coming up, okay? They're playing Cleveland now, then they get Kansas City at home for 3. Then they go to play the Cubs at Wrigley for 3 next weekend, okay? And next weekend, you and I are going to be on leading right up to that game. We're going to be on from 3 to 5:30. On Sunday night, leading up to the Sunday night baseball game, which I'm sure that they could change that again before next Sunday with the Cubs making all the trades of all their guys.
Yeah, well,
you get the rest of the nation gets to see Austin Romine and Ortega and Alcantara and stuff like that.
Someone just tweeted at Sylvie. Remember those old rally towels during the Cubs World Series run?
Yeah.
With the W flag, it's got everyone's name. And in red, they cross out every name that's gone. I'm looking right now.
I think there's
how many red slashes are there?
Well, I think there's only four left.
One,
I think.
Two, three. So it's complicated.
I bet it is.
So here's the ones that are uncrossed.
Okay.
Hayward.
Yeah.
Contreras. Hendricks. Arrieta, who left and came back.
Came back.
And then Ross. They left Ross uncrossed.
Oh, that's right. So four players and one manager.
So it's easier to tell us, as you did, who's not crossed.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Time changes everything.
So here, so the Sox have today's game, 1:10 first pitch. You get the pregame here at 12:30 on ESPN 1000. Then you have Kansas City for 3. You go to the Cubs. Then you're at Minnesota. Then on August 12th, you play at the Field of Dreams on Thursday. You have Friday night, the 13th off. Friday the 13th, no game for White Sox. Then they play the Yankees, two other games, Saturday and Sunday at Guaranteed Rate Field. They go to Oakland, which is never a good place. The White Sox have never, ever played well. I'm sorry, they got Oakland here. Well, that's good because they never play well in Oakland. Then they go to Tampa Bay for 3. And they go to Toronto for 4.
That's where it gets tough.
Yeah.
I think Toronto is going to be a tough team. I think Toronto is going to go and compete for the pennant.
Yeah, look at it. You got Oakland, Tampa, Toronto. So Yankees, Oakland, Tampa, Toronto. You can't play defensively or offensively the way you're playing now and expect to do well in that little run.
Look,
I know people are saying you guys are panicking about nothing. This, and this. They'll step their game up and they play the better teams.
Hey, when do we?
We'll see.
When is it time? When is it time to raise the flag?
Yeah.
Look, I'm not thrilled the way we played Kansas City. So if this is a new trend, Fred, maybe we're losing to the bad teams and beating the good teams.
Well,
if this is the trend.
Yeah.
I'm still not happy about it. We should be winning everything.
Yeah.
But realistically, we're not going to. But we do need to tighten it up because we've got those tough teams, and Toronto is going to be tough.
Toronto's going to be very
tough. Tampa Bay is going to be tougher than they were before.
And Oakland's always tough. Oakland's unbelievable. They're a very, very good team. The White Sox always struggle with them. They knocked the Sox out of the playoffs last year. So 312-332-3776, despite an 8-game lead, as a White Sox fan, how are you feeling about your team with what you have? I know I read in the paper all of the relievers are all – everything's fine. We're singing Kumbaya, Hendricks, and Kimbrel. They're going to – it's going to be fine.
Is Tapera going to start getting good?
Well, he didn't give up – he gave up the inherited runs yesterday. He came in and the two guys around baseball
scored.
But
the night before,
his
debut.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, not real good. 312-332-3776. Sebi Zavala with a record night. We'll talk about that. We'll take your calls when we come back. It's Fred and Xander here on ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Fred and Xander. This is Chicago's home for sports.
Live stream ESPN 1000 or take a listen to our other shows on demand. It's the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
Here's a 2-2. Zavala puts a charging one out in the center field. Straw goes back. He's at the wall, and it's gone. Sebi Zavala, with his first major league home run, gives the White Sox a 2-0 lead.
Yeah, you know, when I hit it, I was like, dang, I just missed that pitch. And then it kept going and going, and luckily it went over, and it was a good feeling.
2-0 pitch. Swung on high into the air to left. This ball is twisting and gone! A grand slam for Sebi Zavala! 2 home runs in 2 at-bats. His first 2 homers of his Major League career. And the Sox lead it 6-1. Here's the 2-1 pitch. Sebi pokes one into right. Back, track, wall! A 3-homer game for Sebi Zavala. His first career homer in the third, a grand slam in the fourth, and his third career home run. His third of the game.
I got some pitches to handle, and I didn't miss them. And that's key. I mean, I guess that's the only way to hit home runs, don't miss them.
It's tough to ask a guy that's never hit a home run in the major leagues about how he did it. It's like, I got some pitches and hit him hard.
You got to hit him to hit him.
Yeah, he said the last time he probably hit 3 homers in a game was in high school. He goes, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, sure.
Never in the minors. Not in the minors, nowhere else. He also set records. He's the first White Sox catcher. The first White Sox catcher to ever have three homers in a game.
Really?
Yeah. No Fisk, no Brzezinski, none of those
other
guys.
There are some other possible candidates.
Way back. Well, yeah, everybody that's ever caught a game for the White Sox.
And I saw he's also the first catcher ever to have his first home run come in a three-homer game.
Yeah.
Too.
Yep. It's crazy. He's the third rookie in White Sox history to have a three-homer game. Merv Connors, we all remember Merv back in 1938, and Belton Bill Melton.
Speak for yourself.
Back in 1969, Bill Melton, a rookie who had three homers. And he's the first three-homer guy out of the nine hole in White Sox history. Now, that's not that far. It's just back to the start of, you know, back to the start of the DH. Because otherwise, I mean, Gary Peters was a heck of a hitter for the White Sox back in the 60s, but not a home run guy like that. And again, the 7, 8, 9 guys in the order yesterday, Goodwin, Engel, and Zavala, 6 for 10 with 9 runs, 9 RBIs, and 5 home runs yesterday. And the Sox lose.
I've got a question for you, and this is this would be an interesting point to make. If Zavala, now he doesn't have to do that every day. Just
three homers every game would be nice.
Well, it would be great, but it's probably not going to happen, chances are. But if he can start hitting consistently, does Zach go back when Yasmani shows up?
Yeah, there's a chance of that. That could happen. Yeah. There's
and leading up to this, we never would have thought that.
No. Because of the way that Zavala handles the pitchers.
Yeah, he's a solid defensive catcher.
Yeah, he's a very good defensive catcher. And it'll be interesting to see whenever he does come back, whenever Grandal does come back.
I don't
think
we have a date on that.
No,
but he's making a tremendous amount of progress in a very quick fashion.
Yeah, he also, he is making more progress than they thought. So we'll see. I don't want to rush any of these guys back.
No, and I don't, and I don't want Yasmani to rush himself back too. Remember how he started the season?
Yeah.
You know, he was a little sluggish and we were all wondering what's going on. Well, he had a nagging knee injury. Yeah. We don't need him back.
Yeah. He still is only hitting 188 with a 388 on base. So he struck out 64 times, but he's walked 60 times.
And he's hit some home runs.
Yeah. I think he's got 15. So we'll see how long that takes. But Sebi Zavala makes White Sox history yesterday. And then other guys that you expect to play well, Kopech, not so good yesterday.
No.
One inning, 5 runs. He actually came out to pitch part of the other inning, and Tapera gave up the guys that he inherited. But for the game last night, 34 pitches from Michael Kopech. One inning, 5 runs, all earned. He walked one, struck out one.
Yeah, that was a tough inning. That was the game changer right there.
Yeah, definitely. They scored. Yeah, the Indians scored 5 runs in the 6th inning. This after the White Sox put up the 4 spot in the 4th when Zavala hit the grand slam. So, they wrap up their series today, the White Sox and the Indians. Again, the pregame gets underway at 12:30. We'll take you all the way up to it right here on ESPN 1000. But it's funny because people will say, well, you're complaining, you're bitching about this and that. They lose one game. Yeah, but like you mentioned, I forgot, they came off a brutal series against Kansas City.
I don't think anybody that is watching the Southsiders are okay with what happened against Kansas City.
My brothers and I were supposed to go to that series. We didn't go for various reasons, and first of all,
are you glad you didn't?
Well, yeah, because they lost 3 out of 4. Plus, the 4th game on Thursday, it was 98 degrees, and the feels like temperature was 107. And they lost.
That's brutal.
So it's like, no.
And that's humid.
Yeah, heat. There's no reason to want to be there.
No. So, that would have been a rough trip.
And then sitting for a game like that and then driving 8 hours home. Yeah, that would not have been a fun way to end a trip. Losing 3 out of 4 to the Royals.
Oh, the crabby Huebner brothers all in a car.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
Plus, one of my brothers.
I don't know them, but yeah. I could just imagine. You probably all talk a lot.
Yeah.
And you're loud?
When we're all together, I talk less than them.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh. My brother Timmy is like one of the funniest guys I've ever known.
But you're all loud, right?
Kind of. Yeah, the whole family. My two sisters are loud, too. Yeah.
I can imagine.
Yeah. So my brothers would have said, you know, some Royals fan would have said something. My brother would have hit him or something. And so
there's that.
Yeah, I would have been, you know.
You're the angry Huebner brother.
Yeah. And so when you lose three to the Royals... You should be angry.
Well, that'll make you crabby.
And so, like you said, the Royals come back to town later this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. After the Sox play today, they get tomorrow off. The Cubs and the White Sox both off tomorrow on Monday, August 2nd. Then the Royals are in town Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday before the Cubs get to go, or the Sox get to go to Wrigley to play the Cubs. The Cubs guys, like I said, they won on the field last night, a final of 6-3. They got a home run last night. Let's see here. The way they scored, Ortega scores on an error. Alcantara with a single, scoring Bodie. Romine with a double, Alcantara scoring. Ortega with a two-run homer. Hayward drove in a run. That's right. Jason Hayward drives in a run. He went 1-for-4.
He's better late than never, right, Fred?
He's hitting a blistering 199. So they did that. How are the other Cubs doing? The Cubs that are no longer with the Northsiders, they're doing quite well. Actually, on the back page of the New York Post, there's not one but two former Cubs. And we'll talk about that when we come back. You want to jump in, 312-332-3776 here at ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. You're listening to Fred and Xander.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
So the Cubs won yesterday 6-3 against the Nationals. And we got a Twitter poll out. You can go to Twitter. Go to at ESPN 1000. We're asking you, after all the Cubs trades, how will you be watching the Cubs baseball the rest of the season? Every game? Once in a while? Or not at all? And I had them on yesterday, had the split screen going, and I saw they scored some runs. They had a big four-run inning, and that was nice. They got a victory. Kyle Hendricks pitched well. So, again, after all the Cubs trades, how will you be watching Cubs baseball the rest of the season?
Now, that doesn't mean you're not a fan. You could still be a fan. But maybe it's a less, intense process this year. Now that the big names are gone,
you may be watching. If you like, you may be watching Yankees baseball, because on Friday night this happened when Anthony Rizzo stepped to the plate.
Rizzo was the linchpin of the 2016 Cubs, the team that broke the curse, finally brought a World Series to Wrigley Field. He was as important a player as any of them, beloved in Chicago, will never, ever have to buy a meal there. And now he drills one deep to right field. There it goes. See ya. His first Yankee home run, and it gives the Yankees a 1-0 lead.
So that was the first game. That was on the YES Network, and Rizzo went 2-for-3 with two runs scored and a home run. That was pretty good. And then yesterday, they played the Marlins again.
Deep to right field. If it's fair, it's gone. It is gone. Another Rizzo blast. His second home run as a Yankee. This one, another tape measure job. And the Yankees lead 4-2.
So two more runs for two home runs for Anthony Rizzo. Yesterday, he went 2-for-2. So in his two games with the Yankees, he's 4-for-5. He has scored 5 runs. He's walked 3 times. You think they like his on-base percentage? Jeez. He's got 4 hits and 2 walks. I'm sorry, 4 hits and 3 walks. He's been on base almost every time. 7 out of 8 times he's been on base.
So I wonder if there's anybody who is questioning his, because he had a tough year on the north side, right? Questioning what he could do this year. Reinvigoration is a wonderful thing.
Yeah. Means a lot. Sometimes they just got to move. He knew they weren't doing anything. Sometimes maybe you get comfortable playing in a place like this. Now you're going to New York. So you know you're not going to relax. New York's media is going to be hard on you. There's so many more media people.
Right, but the big pressure is on, Stanton and Judge.
Sure.
These guys. So he slides in. He relaxes a little.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He returns to form.
Yeah, and then so he's on the top of the New York Post, I think it is, this morning. And there's another former Cub that's got the big picture on the back of the New York Post, and that's Javi Baez.
Alonso at first and two out, and Baez gets one in the air on the field. Winker going back, looking up, and it's out of here! Javi Baez with a two-run homer! A towering shot! His first home run as a New York Met, coming in his first game for the Mets.
Yep. So Javi goes deep. So, yeah. So the
same
departed
thing
comes
on the other side of the city. Yeah. Reinvigoration.
Yeah. And so you've got that, too. So Javi goes deep for the Mets. And the only reason I think Chris Bryant has a homer yet for the Giants is he hasn't played yet.
Peterson also homered in his first start with the Braves, too.
Yeah.
Jack Marisnik goes yard, I'm done. I'm done.
We're gonna have a breakdown for all of the guys the Cubs got back. And I know that Jed said, well, our minor league system now has been reinvigorated. We've got a lot of other players coming in. Jim Callis from the MLB Pipeline is going to join us around 10:15.
Yeah, we'll figure out how invigorated it was, to
how
what
good
degree
some of these guys were, and how good they were, if it was a good deal for them to come in. So 312-332-3776. So, Tyler, how often are you watching Cubs baseball without Rizzo, Bryant, Baez, Marisnik, Kimbrel, all these guys, Chafin, Tapera, they're all gone. Are you watching as much as you did before?
I've got almost every game on. It's just my focus on the game is waning. It's on, but I'm checking in and out. I'm not fully
engaged,
watching yet.
Sure.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Have it on. And I've told Sylvie this before. Sylvie was fortunate the Cubs went into the rebuild when Theo got here, because otherwise Sylvie wouldn't have got off his couch watching the Cubs and gone out and found a girlfriend. And he did, and he got married, and he's got two lovely kids now. So he's got to thank Theo for that. That's why he went, I think, to spring training every year, just to thank Theo for the rebuild and for him, you know, getting out of the house and not watching Cubs baseball. Because he had said, he goes, they're rebuilding. There's no reason to watch them. Well, that's why I asked the question. As a Cub fan, are you still going to sit and watch them?
Again, the fandom has nothing to do with it. You could still be a fan, but the focus isn't there for obvious reasons.
And so take a page out of Sylvie's book. Now that the Cubs are rebuilding.
Wait. It's Tyler. Are you going to get married now that they're...
Yeah, you can get married now,
I might.
Tyler. Yeah.
I don't know.
You know,
I mean, your focus is less now. Maybe your focus goes somewhere else.
Yeah, you're not going to blow off a Friday or Saturday night with friends or a girl because you got Cub baseball to watch.
Right.
You know, now you'll say...
No, but hey, you'll say, it was on, but I wasn't focused.
So, 312-332-3776, do you find yourself, I know it's just been a couple days, but do you find yourself not interested in watching Cubs baseball? Do you know what time today's game is? I've already seen the lineups are already out for today's game. As the Cubs,
do you know who's starting?
Yeah, I do. I just don't remember them all. It's on somewhere on my Twitter page. And, you're getting a chance to see some of these other guys. Yesterday, you got Ortega, you got Contreras. If I'm Wilson Contreras, I say, you know what? As this season comes to an end, I'm the only guy you guys got left. Sign me to a long-term deal or something. You'd love to have Wilson Contreras. I'd love to. As a Sox fan, I'd love to have Wilson Contreras.
It's obvious that they have to sign him.
Yeah.
It's obvious. But then again, we've seen obvious things to us that don't happen. But they need to sign Wilson Contreras.
Well, yeah. I mean, and you see, ask him what he wants, see what he wants, come to an agreement, get him under contract for a long period of time to be the guy you build around.
What do you think, and not to take a total left turn, but, you know, I've seen Javi talking to the press about, you know, if there was a possibility of re-signing with the Cubs after the season. Is there any chance that any one of those ends up back with the Cubs? It seems to me that all three ships have now sailed.
The only one officially I thought was Rizzo. And yesterday, Brian Hanley said he doesn't think there's any way. Do you want a guy that's getting up there in age, has a bad back constantly, despite all the things he did here? Hoyer was asked the same question the other day. Could some of these guys come back?
Yeah, it's hard to factor, but I told each of these guys that, you know, this is 2 months, and, you know, they were going to be free agents in 2 months anyway. And so now they might have come off a time with another organization, but listen, I would never close the door on bringing any of these guys back. I told them each that individually. And so I can't predict it, but certainly these guys have been fantastic Cubs. And if it works out to bring them back in the future, we would certainly entertain that, because they're all great players.
Yeah.
Arrieta came back, and we would question that. I think we would take Javi before we would have signed Arrieta.
Well, I was one of the guys that thought they should have signed Arrieta and not let him go. And that would have been interesting. Let's go out to the phones. 312-332-3776 out in Lansing. It's Dimitri. Dimitri, what's up?
Hey, buddy.
How you doing, guys? Thanks for taking the call.
Yep.
I'm a big Cubs fan. Even though we got rid of everybody, unloaded the whole team, I'm still going to watch the games just to see what we have. I kind of like a few pieces that we got back. I like Nicky Two Strike very much.
Yep, yep.
Glad to talk to help us out after we helped him out with the Quintana thing. I would love to see us bring one of the guys back. I think it'll be Rizzo if anybody comes back. I don't think KB is going to come back. But I'm still watching all the games anytime I can. I love the Cubs.
Cool.
Always.
Cool. That sounds great. Dimitri. Thanks, Dimitri. Yeah, and a lot of people, I'm sure, like that. You're a Cub fan. You make your put your schedule together. Like, oh, I'm going to sit down and watch the Cub game, then I'm going to go out, then I'm going to meet friends and things
again,
like that.
Yeah, again, the whole focus thing, like Tyler was talking about, that makes a lot of sense. But it is good if you could pay attention because there's some youth there that you're going to see grow into positions.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Well, that's the hope, right?
Right.
That's the hope.
Yeah.
And with Madrigal, you know, you got a lot to look forward to. Does he play second and Nico moves over to short?
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes complete sense. Cody Hoyer came in yesterday. He went an inning. He helped him get out of trouble. Rex Brothers got himself in trouble, and Hoyer got out of it. So, he had a hold yesterday. Let's go to our guy Will in Virginia. Will, what's happening today?
Hey, Will.
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, so with the Cubs, I was kind of going into the trade deadline. I haven't been watching the games as much because I was kind of just over the whole aspect of everything and just kind of weighed down by it, I guess. But since the trade deadline, I'm actually feeling kind of rejuvenated as a baseball fan. I'm having fun watching Rizzo or Baez or now Bryant. And I probably will, you know, watch Cubs games the rest of the season. And I'm excited to see what they can do going forward into the future. But in general, I was just kind of tired of the overall collective group struggling. So now I'm kind of feeling like in the minority of being refreshed, kind of wanting to watch how, Rizzo and Bryant and Baez play for their teams going forward. So that's kind of where I'm at with it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they do it because all those teams really have playoff hopes. Obviously, the Giants do, the Mets do. They're both in first place, and then the Yankees are hoping to make a push.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Look, there was a tired storyline here.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's been refreshed for everybody.
Do you think any of them come back, Will?
I would say maybe Rizzo, and I don't really think he is either. I don't think Bryant is at all. I don't really think Baez will. And, yeah, maybe Rizzo, but honestly, I doubt it. I think all three go somewhere else or stay. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think they come back.
Yeah, well, appreciate it as always. Thanks a lot.
If Baez had went somewhere else,
yeah,
I think he might come back.
Uh-huh.
He may have been the one.
But do you think now he's with the Mets?
With the Mets. He's with his buddy Lindor, and he's with an owner who's shown a commitment to spending.
Right.
I think that might be a spot where he sticks then.
Yeah,
see, to me, the only one out of the three that would have a chance to come back would be Baez, but you may have a point there. I think Rizzo, look, there's a reason that we didn't sign Rizzo at the price that they wanted. I don't know who's going to end up with him, but he is older. He's got the back issues, everything. Look, these past few games, he's looked great, but that's hard to sustain with where he is in his career right now.
Yeah, Baez hitting his 23rd homer of the season. I'm reading this right out of the Sun-Times today. Baez took a long look at his drive at home plate before tossing his bat aside and circling the bases. With the fans chanting his name, Baez came out of the dugout for a curtain call and raised both arms to spur on the crowd. In addition to his homer, and they put this in, I didn't have to say it. In addition to his homer, he grounded out and struck out twice. So, it's your typical Javi game.
I didn't see the strikeout, but I'm guessing slider down and away.
Yeah, I would think so. Okay. Yeah, that's usually the way
and
it
a
happens.
Very, very enthusiastic swing.
Yeah. We come back. We got our rock poll. We got more of your calls. Don't forget Jim Calla, senior writer from MLB Pipeline, will join us at 10:15. Tell us about all these guys the Cubs got and if you're going to see any of them coming in the near future right here on ESPN 1000.
This is Fred and Xander on ESPN 1000, also available on demand on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Well, Fred, it's been quite the week in rock. Lollapalooza in town. If you're anywhere near the city and you don't want to get involved in Lollapalooza, you are because you're stuck in traffic.
Yeah. Well, I know that Jason Benetti and a couple other people were talking about how they made the mistake.
Yeah, Benetti was stuck in traffic during the trade deadline and when things were going down.
You got to watch it. Yeah, we're fortunate because we're here early and then we get out of here. yes, you know, before yes. it gets too
and you
crowded.
Come in from the west side.
Yes. Yeah.
And we're on the west side of the loop.
Right.
So, I mean, we're not near Grant Park. I mean, we're only a few blocks away.
Yeah.
But nobody's coming over here.
No, usually when we were broadcasting from downstairs in our State Street studio, and you know, the First Midwest Bank State Street studio, we would see people walking over all the time. And right now the guys are broadcasting Monday through Friday there and all the way into the evenings, but we're still upstairs on the weekends.
Yeah, so. And it is quite the sight when you see the people dressed up for Lotto. Uh-huh.
It's like or dressed down because, dressed they're not wearing much.
Sure.
Yeah. And I just, you see the pictures from overhead, and I just want to know what happens when the guy in the middle's got to pee. He just pees?
Yeah, diaper.
Does he just go?
Diaper.
Yeah, I mean.
They I'm sure they make Foo Fighters. You know, maybe Foo Fighters has a line of concert diapers.
Yeah, maybe. because... I know. Was Journey at Foo?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Because I know people said they were watching Journey on Hulu. Because, like you mentioned last
live
week,
live
streaming on Hulu.
Safer way to experience live.
So, Foo Fighters going to be live streamed tonight
on
Hulu? Okay.
Yeah.
That might
be
worth watching.
So, we've got a rock poll this week. We lost a bass player named
out of
Dusty
nowhere.
Hill. Nobody knew he was sick. I mean, you know,
he was.
Well, yeah, he had some health issues leading up. As a matter of fact, a few weeks ago, they played New Lenox, their festival down there. And Elwood, the guitar tech, had to stand in because they said that Dusty had some hip issues. I don't know what other issues.
Right.
But apparently, after Dusty died, Billy Gibbons, lead singer of the or lead guitarist of the band, said that Dusty said, you know what, take Elwood, and he plays bass, continue.
Okay.
Keep going.
Okay.
Keep going. So ZZ Top will continue, which is really, really weird. But we lost Dusty, age 72. He died in his sleep. And it got me to thinking, they were such a very, very much a gritty blues band in the 70s. And they reinvented themselves in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
And then they put out an iconic string, the trilogy, they call it, of these videos.
Okay.
Which featured two things that featured in these videos. The legendary Eliminator car.
Yep.
And the girls.
Okay, I'd say three. But maybe it was just in one videos. The swinging guitar. The guitar that swung around.
You know what? I'd have to go look. I think it was in one, but it may have been. But there were a lot of... they called that the trilogy.
Yeah.
Because it was... they had a lot of the same things in. So I thought, you know what? For the rock poll this week, tell us what your favorite video is out of that trilogy. Legs, Sharp Dressed Man, Give Me All Your Lovin'. I like the one... at the gas station, Give Me All Your Lovin',
uh-huh.
where the kid's under the car.
Yeah.
And the ladies stop, and he pumps the gas, and they leave them him the ZZ Top keychain,
yes.
which, by the way, you can get online.
Uh-huh. Oh, sure.
I've always wanted one.
Yeah.
I wanted one in the 80s before there was eBay or whatever. Now I can go back and get one.
You can find them, yeah. So what are the three songs?
Yeah. Legs, Sharp Dressed Man, or Give Me All Your Lovin'. Again, they all have the car, they have the girls, and they have some guy.
Uh-huh.
Some young guy.
Yeah.
It's all into the girls.
Yeah, they were, I mean...
fuzzy guitar.
Yeah. I was a huge ZZ Top fan. And when you told me that they were there in New Lenox, I said, damn, I would have loved to have seen them. Because I've seen certain groups and those kind of things.
So you've never seen them?
I don't think I have. I think I'd remember.
I was like, I saw them in L.A. at the Greek Theater.
Okay.
Great venue, right in the woods there.
Uh-huh.
So I saw them there. I saw them. I have a story about standing right next to Dusty at the cater table.
Okay.
The backstage of Loop Fest.
Uh-huh.
He looked like Yosemite Sam.
Yes, he did.
He came up to my chest. I'm 6'3". He was a little guy. And he was all dressed up in his stage wear, and he looked like Yosemite Sam.
Uh-huh.
We set our highs and everything, and that was my brush with Dusty.
Yeah, there you go.
Very talented guy, though. He had the higher voice. They traded off. He's saying, Give Me All Your Lovin'.
Okay.
So if you listen to his ZZ Top song, Beer Drinkers and Hellraisers, great song.
It's
they
tremendous
trade off
song.
You can tell the higher voice is Dusty.
Yeah, tremendous song. Yeah. And it's a group where they had three guys in the group start till now. It was never
nobody
else.
Actually, technically, Dusty joined in 70. The band did exist before Dusty joined. But it was a solid
put out their first
51
album, though,
years.
Dusty was...
It was a solid 51 years that that trio was together.
Yeah, that's really amazing.
Yep.
And, their first album, if you ever get a chance to find it or go get it, ZZ Top's first album, they have a song on there called Brown Sugar, which is really good.
Yep,
not the
and
same
it's
Brown
not
Sugar.
The Stones.
Uh-uh.
Yep.
No, it's really, really good. And growing up, the song LaGrange was played constantly. constantly on WLS and WCFL when I was a kid growing up, and all I had is AM radio in my car.
Sure was.
You couldn't miss it. LaGrange was always there. Yeah,
which Billy?
Well, Tush later. Yeah,
yeah, but, with Dusty saying that one too.
Yeah, so it was awesome.
But yeah, LaGrange was a all over the radio.
Yeah, and that's what happens as we get older. And I've told somebody because you know I'm 64, and you know every time the phone rings, you hesitate to pick it up.
We're at it's that like, age, okay, right?
Yeah. So, and I told my brothers and sisters, I'm at that age. Every time the phone rings, it's like, okay, what bad news do I get now? What's happening now? But the longer you live, the more people you are going to die. So right. It's just a fact of life.
Look at the Green Mile.
Yeah. It's just a fact of life. We come back. We get to your calls. Thanks for hanging in there. 312-332-3776. You want to talk White Sox and their struggles? As struggles, they lost 3 out of 4 to Kansas City, and now they've split the first two with Cleveland. You want to talk about the Cubs or the former Cubs? And don't forget, Jim Callis, senior writer of MLB Pipeline, joins us in 15 minutes here on ESPN 1000.